This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right from the start of this pandemic, Dr. Michael Osterholm has been kind enough to join us on a weekly basis. On the day before Thanksgiving, Mike is here. Mike, I'm going to start with this. I want to thank you. Since we're about to have a holiday tomorrow, we're grateful for things. I am thankful to you for our friendship and also for your availability on a weekly basis to answer questions from me, from our audience through text. You've been oh so kind. So again, from all of us here at the show, thank you very much for coming on.
Well, thank you, Chad. And, you know, thank you for our friendship. And also thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak to the state of Minnesota and surrounding areas. You know, right now, one of the things that is the most important job that people like myself can do is just provide the factual information so people have actionable items they can do to protect themselves or family members. And, you know, you obviously are a very, very important venue in that opportunity.
Mike, I'm looking at this headline, the Tribune. I can find the same thing elsewhere. Hospitals pushed over the edge, talking about what is taking place in Minnesota. What gives you the greatest concern about COVID related to what is taking place in hospitals, the severity of it, and also the availability of hospital beds for folks who something unforeseen may happen in the next 2-3 days or next couple weeks?
Well, you know, I think first of all, we have to put it in perspective. Why are we having this challenge with getting adequate care for those who need it? Obviously, COVID has really stressed the system, and it's going to continue to do so. But I think a second piece that's really been missed and is something that you can't solve overnight is the fact that the limit right now is not hospital beds. It's not medical equipment. It's not even necessarily some of the drugs that may be coming from a foreign country. It's our healthcare workers, this precious, precious group of people who have put their, you know, lives on hold for the last 2 years, who have done day after day battle with this virus in, you know, in a way that many would have said 6 months ago, a year ago, they need a break because of the post-traumatic stress. And what we're seeing is many people leaving the healthcare area right now. They just can't keep it up. They can't do it. And so that's compounding the problem right now, because then someone who might have been taking care of 2 patients at a given shift now has to take care of 4 patients at a given shift because of the fact that they are that short-staffed. And so I think people don't realize how close we are to a major breaking point in our healthcare system, and it's all about the people. And I think that is something you can't fix overnight.
So I want to stay with that, because that is such a very important point and a concerning point. Look, in this state, we now have the National Guard involved with long-term care facilities. We have the National Defense Team from the Air Force involved. How close are we to looking at doctor's offices, hospitals, from doctors, nurses, other essential individuals, where we don't have enough people to treat individuals?
Well, I think part of that goes back to what do we mean by treat? And right now, you know, if I get to the hospital, I get put in a hallway and I'm there for 12 hours and a chair, and I might even die there. You can say I was at the hospital for treatment. Did I get good quality care, though? And there is study after study, and you can surely have healthcare workers themselves confirm this, that people right now are getting substandard care in many hospitals in our state. And it's not because they're doing a bad job, or if anything, they're doing an amazing job. But they're that short-stretched. And I think that that's the challenge right now. I wouldn't want to have a heart attack or a stroke or be in an automobile accident right now. I wouldn't want that because right now the quality of care is going to be compromised in many, many hospitals around the state. And it's not due to anything that they're doing wrong. You can't ask people to do more than they possibly can. And so that's why I come back to the issue of COVID. You know, please get vaccinated, even if you don't believe in it, even if you say, I'm not going to get it. Get it. Get the vaccine, because you know what? You may end up then not needing a bed that will be taken from somebody's son or daughter who's in that automobile accident, or somebody's grandfather who just had a heart attack, and now they can't get care. So for no other reason, even if the COVID issue is such a challenge for you, please just get this. And, you know, in terms of trying to stay out of the hospital to compromise, so you don't compromise care.
I echo all those words. I hope people get vaccinated. I hope they get the boosters when it's appropriate. But I want to stay with the care and the people.
Sure.
At the clinics and the hospitals, we have seen a number of folks who have decided they're not going to get the vaccine and have walked away from their positions. Is that playing a part in any significant way with the shortages? And would you offer up any leeway because of our concern with not having enough doctors and nurses on vaccine mandates at hospitals or clinics?
Well, I think, first of all, it's really important to emphasize in the healthcare setting, there surely are those who refuse to get vaccinated. If you look at it, it's a very, very, very few physicians. The best estimates we have said well over 99% of physicians in this country have been vaccinated. So, I mean, I think it's important to emphasize who in the healthcare setting is not getting vaccinated. Where we tend to see the greater number of individuals not getting or unwilling to be vaccinated are those who are the technicians, those who are the nurses' aides, those who are the station clerks. There surely are nurses or others who are also in that camp, but the majority of from a work standpoint are those individuals who, you know, are not, I believe, in the necessarily the best position to be the medical experts to say, you know, I do or don't know more than the experts on these vaccines or the infectious disease physicians. So, I mean, I hope we can continue to work with them. At the same time, Chad, if you look at what happened in Minnesota over the course of the last 18 months, unfortunately, many of the outbreaks that we had in long-term care facilities where a number of residents died all originated from healthcare workers who brought the virus in with them. And so we also have a duty in the healthcare area, do no harm. And with a virus like this, you do harm if you get infected and infectious before you may even know it. Even routine testing, if it's done once a week, won't pick up many of the early infections where you can transmit to other patients. So I look at this as an issue of greater good. You know, we don't let people go out and drive drunk on the highways. You know, they will suffer the consequences of that, not because we're just talking about their welfare, which, of course, is important. We don't want them to be in an accident or hurt themselves, but it's because they're protecting others. And that's what this is really all about, is it's our job to protect others. It's not to try to be autocratic or, you know, telling people exactly what they have to do, but it's making sure that they don't create the risk situation for others to get infected. And I think that is, if there's that message is not compelling, then I don't know why somebody's in healthcare. I don't know why.
Dr. Michael Osterholm is our guest. Mike, I am looking at an op-ed that you co-wrote in the Washington Post, and I'll read the headline, then I want you to expand on it. The CDC got it wrong. It should have urged all adults to get COVID-19 booster shots. We've covered this many times in this show. The mixed messages, when was the time, what was taking place. Why did you feel it was so important to come out with this fairly bold declaration in the Washington Post?
Well, yes, it did come out this morning, and obviously we've had a lot of feedback on it. I co-authored it with Eric Topol from the Scripps Institute in California. I think one of the most gifted data analysis epidemiologists in the country. And it really was all about the fact that, you know, in August when I was on this show, you can go back and look at the transcripts. I said at that time, we are beginning to see waning immunity. It is going to continue to grow in importance in terms of time, and that we're going to need a booster dose. And we should have thought of that all along. This was going to be a three-dose vaccine for the two-dose Pfizer, Moderna vaccines. It was going to be at least a two-dose vaccine for the J&J. But remember, at the time, for waning immunity to occur when your immune system starts to decrease its protection, it takes at least 6 months. And that's great. During those 6 months, you have really quite good protection. But what's happening now is that we have a number of younger population who are 50 to 40, 40 to 30, even 30 to 20. In some cases, they have underlying risk factors. They were, they're high body mass indexes. They have, they're transplant recipients, et cetera. All who, when they do get infected, have a much, much higher risk of having serious outcome. Well, they didn't get vaccinated, remember, many of those individuals until the months of March, April, or May, because we spent most of our time in those early days vaccinating the older population.
Right.
And we could see the breakthroughs in the older population occurring first. We knew it was just a matter of time before we start to see it in the younger population. So what happened with the CDC, based on the recommendations of an outside advisory group, they said you should get vaccinated, recommended it for those 50 and older, and said we'll make it available to those under 50. Well, to me, this is so short-sighted, because the data out of Israel and other countries that have much better systems than we have for actually collecting the data, they started vaccinating before we did. There are at least 10 studies now showing that this waning immunity is going to continue in younger age groups. And I want to be sure for every listener on this program right now to understand these vaccines are remarkable tools, but they're not perfect. And we can restore one's immunity by getting a booster dose in 6 months. But if we don't, I will guarantee you, as we're seeing now in other countries around the world, we will be back. One day we'll make a recommendation for everybody 18 and older, they should get a booster dose. Why wait? Why put people at risk? So I'm telling people right now, you can get it at 18 to 49 years of age. Get it, because it will restore your immune system back to that place where you really want to have high-level protection. And, remember, in August, there were, I was one of those few who were getting pretty beat up because I said that the vaccines were experiencing waning immunity. Nobody wanted to believe it.
Right.
Now it's all agreed that that's true. But who is going to suffer it? And so I'm just saying, cut through the chase. You read the piece in the Washington Post, you'll see the data that's there. We present the data and say, CDC should have said everybody 18 and over get a booster dose.
Couple last points. We'll let Mike Ostrom go. I see Denver is about to enforce a mask mandate in some locations again. We've had the mask debate many times on this show.
Yeah.
If everyone could purchase or was given the N95 mask, not the cloth mask, not the inferior mask, but the top-notch mask, do you think people, considering our positivity rate as of yesterday in our state was 11%, do you think people should be wearing N95 masks right now?
I personally wear one, just so you understand. I walk the talk, and I think they should be. I think it's a matter of first getting vaccinated. That's the most important and the most effective thing you can do to protect yourself. Get the booster if you're at 6 months. If you do those two things, you have made a major step forward in just protecting yourself. But then you can add that benefit on of using a mask like that. We have a challenge with our children. It's harder to get them to wear N95s. They don't often fit face well. There's a type of mask called an NK95 that comes from China that actually is for smaller faces, works fairly well with kids. But yes, it would actually help us a lot in slowing down transmission. But, Chad, we've talked about this before, and I know people don't want to hear this. You'll get a ton of emails and texts after this appearance here. The public's done with this pandemic. Unfortunately, far too many have decided it's over with.
That's it.
And yet, as you laid out what's happening in our hospitals
now. That's it. Dan found me a story, 3 of 4 saying they're back to normal. The country and the state and the city and the world were not back to normal. It's not a conspiracy. We're not profiting from this. By having you on, you are disseminating information. which is backed by science, what you know now, and you've said so many times, I got to be humble, right? So, this is evolving science, and sometimes it can change.
But, you know, the numbers are so straightforward. These are not cooked books. Anybody can find out in their hospitals what their bed situation is. Anybody can find out what's happening in terms of care. And, again, if you're not concerned about COVID, okay. But just know you don't want to have your heart attack. You don't want to have a loved one have a medical emergency right now because the healthcare system is so stretched that providing quality care, which we surely have the ability to do in Minnesota, if you give them the people and the tools to do it, they don't have them right now. They're that stretched. And so I just keep coming back to saying, please understand that. This is not, you know, some made-up event. And that's what I worry that people don't get, is they don't see the fact that all these other collateral damage issues are going to occur. And frankly, getting vaccinated, I want the economy to come back. I want everyday life to come back.
Me
you
too.
I just want to get us back there.
Enjoy tomorrow. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk next week. Mike Osterholm.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure when he joins us. A lot to react to. People are reacting. 651-461-9226. Would you wear a mask? If everybody's given the best mask, the N95, the country should be flooded with these by now. Would you wear one? And also, are you in the 75% where you're saying life's back to normal? I'm good. And if you are, what convinces you? When we have these positivity rates, when we have hospitals full, when we have deaths well over 1,000 for months and months, when we've had more people die this year than last year, what convinces you that we are back to normal? 651-461-9226. As always, we are reacting to what Dr. Michael Osterholm had to say and an outpouring of texts. We thank you so much for the text. 651-461-9226. Would you wear a mask if it's an N95 mask where we're at now? Do you think we're back to normal and reacting to so many things Mike said, including highly critical of the CDC and their mixed messages on boosters? Okay, how about this one, Dan? I had COVID, which was no big deal for me. I'm fully vaccinated. What more do you want me to do? What would you say to that texter?
Thank you for getting vaccinated, first of all, first and foremost.
Yep.
I understand masks aren't comfortable. I understand that they're an inconvenience. And even though the rate of breakthrough cases is small, it's just yet another step.
It's getting bigger, though. By the way, it's getting bigger.
It is because, you know, we have immunity waiting and people are, you know, in line to get boosters at this point. So
yep, that's exactly right.
In the meantime, you know, it's yet another step that you can take, inconvenient though it may be, to help out the people, the same people that you're helping out by getting vaccinated. So it's just an extension of what you're already doing. Hang in there. We'll get through this thing together.
I don't think it's complete failure if someone is not wearing a mask. It is something that if it's the right mask, it is helpful. But if someone has been vaccinated to protect themselves and to protect others, I'm not asking them to do a hell of a lot more, right? I'm not asking them to stop living their life.
No.
I'm asking them to be respectful of a pandemic which has killed over 775,000 people in our country, when our positivity rate in this state has been higher than any other state in the country. So when you're telling me life is back to normal, you're wrong. It isn't. I want it back desperately. Most importantly for my son, who is immune compromised, and the issues he faces. But I just want to say selflessly myself for Quentin and then the adjustments I make every day in my life because of Quentin. But it's more than just what we do for ourselves. It's collective because of the power of this transmissible disease. I've been wearing an N95 for over a year now. It's only right and decent to do so. I also like to go to Walmart and scream, it's my constitutional right to wear a mask, smiley face. I was talking to people in church. Two of them said they had the vaccine, still got COVID. It wasn't that bad, so they're telling everyone not to get it. When I said the vaccine probably helped you not get a severe case, they said I was wrong and just pushing my agenda. Again, that's the sheep conversation.
Yeah.
I love how if we have an expert like a Dr. Paul Offit on, or an Andy Slavitt, or Mike Osterholm, or others that we're sheep by listening to trained professionals. But Dan, if you're believing others who don't have the same pedigree,
yeah,
maybe doctors, but not epidemiologists, may not be doctors at all, that we're the sheep by following the trained professionals, but you, in buying other non-proven CDC, FDA ideas, wait, you're not the sheep?
And it's ironic that this is happening at a church where followers of Jesus are referred to quite often as members of a flock and often sheep. So to use that as a pejorative, you're missing something there. There's some sort of link that you're not quite grasping.
Life is a risk. Reading text here. Mine is minimal. That's why even though no mask, even though I'm vaccinated. Okay, you're vaccinated, right?
It's not about you. Wearing a mask.
It's both.
Is not just about you. Yeah. I should say that. It's not only about you. The whole point of this thing, getting vaccinated, wearing masks, doing all of these things, is not just to protect yourself. It's that we're in this thing together. We're trying to protect each other. Can we have some care for somebody outside of our own bodies?
Because to most people now, we've lost that. We've literally have lost that feeling because the lack of trust that we talked so much about yesterday in particular. This text. So what is he saying? Booster 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 will be coming shortly? Do you listen? How he says all the time, if you humbled, this is learning science. This is on the fly. This is going by data, going by trying to compare this, and that not having all the answers. And I'll just finish on this one. We'll get to more texts on this topic throughout the show. What if it was, by the way, what if we did end up getting a booster once a year? What would be wrong with that? This came upon our lives. No one wanted it. No one. Go ahead. Call it China virus. Call it whatever you want to call it. Some of us just try to be respectful.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't exactly respect China and the information they provided. Let's be clear about that. But what if we did, because of this happening, ended up getting a booster all the time? What would be the problem with that? It's happened in our life. We have to react to new things in our life that bring joy, that bring pleasure, and where we have to make accommodations. So I hope it doesn't happen, but if it does, I'll get it, and I won't bitch and complain.
What are we at now? Death? What's the last death count? Here, and it was 700,000.
775. Yeah.
775,000 people have died.
Yeah.
Have died. If you got to get a little shot in your arm every year to stop that, seriously, who's not signing up?
You don't get it.
Come on.
There's a chip. Not that many people died of it.
Look,
it only affects.
I'm still waiting
ones.
To be magnetic. Can I just be magnetic already? Because that would be awesome.
I wish I had a chip.
Three
in my
shots
body.
Now, and I'm still not magnetic.
What's
the deal?
I'd like to have a chip that would help me do certain things. Hit the button.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.